All right. Thanks everyone for joining. My name is Nader Ben Masoud. I have with me today Anders Ravenhard. Both of us are working for the same team, Windows Server System Center CAD team. So today's session is about Azure Pack websites. An hour doesn't really do justice for this web hosting platform. So towards the end of the session, we'll have pointers to other materials, other sessions, to get the next level of details. Before we get started, I would like to spend a few seconds to introduce the team, Windows Server System Center CAD team. So our team focuses mainly on accelerating adoptions, providing customer insights to the engineering teams, and delivering knowledge to the IT pro community. CAD stands for customer, mostly you guys, architecture, and technology. So it's all about you, it's all about the community to help you use our technology based on the best practices. Have you ever, who is familiar with our blog, the Building Clouds blog? All right, good. So everything we are talking about, everything we are building, we publish it to the Building Cloud blog. It is available for you for free. You can read it, reuse it, and so on. So before we get started, I would like to have a quick poll about your life with regards to Azure Pack. So please don't be shy about being honest, about saying the truth. So how many of you have already deployed Azure Pack? Good. How many of you have already deployed the VM Cloud feature in Azure Pack?
How many of you have tried Windows Azure or Microsoft Azure?
Okay. How many of you is managing Azure Pack actively? It's like a day in, day out type of thing. Few of you, okay. So how many website users we have today in the room?
Really?
Good, so this is what we thought. We need to chat about that. Thanks for the feedback. So the agenda for today, we are going to describe Windows Azure Pack, Windows Azure Pack websites, describe and demonstrate some advanced features and advanced design principles for websites, how it is aligning to what we have built already to Microsoft Azure, and finally provide an overview of the CPS platform, the Cloud Platform System. So the key takeaways by the end of the session, we would like you guys to have an understanding of what websites, product capabilities, and have deep insights about deployment guidance and architecture. Let's have a quick level set for those of you who never deployed or we didn't deploy it yet, Azure Pack. And then we get ourselves going down the road. So on the very top layer, we have the portal. And that portal has two flavors. The first one is for tenants, for service consumers. Most of you guys are familiar with that. This is the experience that you get, actually, when you start deploying virtual machines or creating websites, creating web applications, pushing website live using Git, and so on. And then we have the administrative portal, which is mainly designed for service administrator and for people operating the cloud, whether it is VM cloud, websites clouds, and so on. Now, both of these portals are layered on top of what we call service management APIs. So think about the service management APIs as the on-premises version of the RDFU I've been running in Azure for a while. Below the service management APIs, we have a set of services, major services. We call them also resource providers that are exposed. The first one is the virtual machines. This is your infrastructure as a services feature. Most of us as an IT pro are familiar with that. So how many IT pros we have today in the audience? Are we mostly an IT pro audience? Okay. How many developers? Good. So next we have virtual networks. So think about it as your routing boundary or your isolation boundary. Everything within your VM network in Azure Pack can communicate with each other. Everything outside of the VM network needs a component called gateway to communicate with the external world. The VM network is actually enabling a number of scenarios like hybrid cloud scenarios, hybrid connectivity, cross data center connectivities. You can also allow your tenants to have connections to the internet through the VM network in the cloud or publish services and application hosted in the cloud as well. The website feature allows you to deploy or create website or .NET application. Not only that, you can create .NET applications certainly, but you can create other components based on open source technologies, like a component that requires a front-end and back-end components like WordPress, Joomla, and so on. And then we have the database. That database actually is another platform as a service component, and we really see that as a going hand in hand with the website component. So let's say you have you are deploying a WordPress instance, and the database for the WordPress instance is hosted on MySQL backend, of course, which is living inside the WAP database runtime. And then Service Bus, this is a messaging platform across different types of application. We are not really going to talk about Service Bus today. Anders have experience about Service Bus, can answer your questions by the end of the session. So since we are here primarily to talk about websites, so let's dig into the value prop of websites cloud. First, it is scalable. We provide web hosting, multi-tenant web hosting platform that is secure, scalable, both vertically and horizontally. And it is proven at cloud scale. When we started actually to deploy Azure websites, we did that in 1,100 machines in one go. So how many times we deploy our on-prem technologies on 1,100 servers in one go? We never did that for our on-premises technologies. So the Azure Pack websites has been designed or has been built with cloud-first design principles and methodologies in mind. So it's very important that we start first with the public cloud. We design it, we build it for public cloud scalability, then we bring it on-premises for enterprise customers and hosting service providers. The next main pillar I want to talk about is automations. So it is highly automated. The website platform is highly automated. It is, for hosting service provider, it helps lower the cost of onboarding tenants. For enterprises, it really streamlines the process of self-services. Let's say you want to deploy .NET website or .NET application, so you just have to request it. You don't have actually to go and have remote desktop to server, install and configure IIS, or you don't have to understand how to deploy the latest version of PHP or Python. It is just there, right? Also, it automates the metering and the throttling over resources to help administrator to have tighter control and visibility and meet their SLAs. The last thing is flexible. Out of the box, we support PHP, Python, Node.js, ASP.NET, Classic, ASP. As long as we allow you to bring your own FastCGI handlers for any of the FastCGI compatible languages. So it's very difficult to find something that doesn't really work on the website platform. Also, we are fully integrated to the app gallery. When we look at how people build their application templates, oftentimes they don't start from scratch. They don't go in Visual Studio and click File New, or they don't use Notepad to code the application templates. Oftentimes they use an existing template and they start customizing it. And then we have an open publishing methods and protocols that allow developers to push their codes and their applications to the web hosting platform. So now let's talk a little bit about the architecture of the website platform. Let's start to talk about server roles. So first we have the controller. How many of you is familiar with the web farm framework? Okay, how many of you is familiar with the web deploy component? Okay, so this is like set of web technologies that we used in the past to build a web hosting platform. The controller is actually a variant of that web farm framework. And it is responsible actually to provision and manage, and orchestrate the deployment of other roles. The next role is management, the management server. It's like a set of REST endpoints sitting on the server that the Azure Pack Portal and the Service Management APIs use to talk to the website runtime. And then we have the worker. It is actually hosting customers' applications and servicing requests. It comes with two flavors. We have shared or multi-tenant worker, and we have reserved worker. So shared worker processes requests for websites across many subscriptions. Reserved workers is really allocated to specific subscription. So you have that that ability to co-locate workloads in a high density manner, or you can have you can isolate workloads for more guarantees and tighter control and to achieve your SLAs from performance and security perspective. And then we have the front-end role. So the front-end is actually accepting web requests coming from the internet, and then in turn, routing them to the appropriate worker. And finally, we have the publisher. So the publisher is responsible for pushing custom application codes inside the web farm, the website platform. We have also a couple of additional dependencies. So the first one is the file server, the Windows file server. And this is where we store actually the website content and also the user-provided certificates. The second dependency is the database server, which is SQL-based database, where we store the configuration data related to the web farm and to the websites. So an important note here, we don't support scale-out file servers. We only support regular Windows file servers. And the reason for that, scale-out file server doesn't exist in Azure. And if we wanted to support it in Azure Pack websites, we really need to fork the code. And we always try to avoid forking the code as much as possible. So network connections and network topologies and communication across different roles. So let's start to talk about the controller first. Like I was saying earlier, the controller is taking care of managing, provisioning, and orchestrating the deployment of other components. It really communicates with all the other roles. We call it Fabric here, and it is listening on port number 8173. It is also using other port numbers, DCOM over RPC and SMB, to push agents to other machines. The next role is the management server. So the management server is a layer between the Azure Pack portal, the service management APIs, and the underlying website platform. So the management server talks to the database to store website-related configuration data, and it is also communicating using WinRM to the file server to create folder or directory structure for the website and set the right FSRM quotas. So what happened actually if someone comes into the web portal and click new websites? So let's walk through the process on how we create websites and try to understand what's going on under the covers. So first, the portal talks to the service management APIs. The service management API sends the request to the management server. The management server persists the data inside the database, then connects to the file server to create folder structure related to that website. So now, variant of that, if we try to create a website using the app gallery, so someone log on to the portal and want to provision website using the app gallery. So the portal and the service management APIs know exactly where the web deploy package exists. So they just create a website like any other process and then pushes the web deploy package to the publisher, and then the publisher is responsible of storing the web deploy package on the file server and set the right transforms. So now, what happened when someone tries to access the application on the very first time? So when the request actually comes from the internet, oftentimes it hits some kind of layer 3 load balancer. So the load balancer will forward the request to one of the front-end servers. The front-end server looks at the header of the request, of the host name, verify if it is true, then checks on the database the configuration data related to that website. Does it require a reserved worker? Does it require a shared worker? If this is a reserved worker, does it have to be small, medium, or large, and so on? So once we verify that, we forward the request to the appropriate worker. So any question about the interaction between different roles inside the website runtime? Cool. So let's switch to the demo screen and go through the admin experience for the website cloud. How a cloud administrator can manage actually a website cloud. So here we have the admin portal for Windows Azure Pack. If we go to the website cloud, you can see the list of website clouds we have here. So in this case, we have mainly only one cloud, but we have the ability to add other clouds. From scalability perspective, each website cloud supports up to 25,000 websites. So it's really scalable. In case you need to deploy more than 25,000 websites, you need to add more websites clouds. I've seen also customers, whether enterprises or hosting service providers, it's like multinational companies that need to deploy clouds across different locations. So they can deploy different website clouds and then make sure the users are being signed up to the right plan and redirected to the right location. For each website cloud, you start, the first screen is about dashboard, performance dashboard. So you can see here the aggregate view for CPU and memory usage for your clouds. You have also other details regarding the status of the cloud, the number of workers deployed in that cloud, how many front-end servers you have, how many publishing servers you have, the number of websites deployed, and so on. The next pane is about the roles you have deployed on your in your cloud. So you can see the controller, which is the first component actually being deployed on your website cloud. Once you deploy the controller, it takes responsibility to provision other roles, like a file server, front-end server, management servers. We provide details here about the web workers, whether it is reserved, the size of reserved workers, or it is multi-tenant shared across different subscriptions. And for each role, we provide view as well on the number of size, CPU usage, and memory usage as well. The next view is about the list of websites you have in your clouds. So if, for example, you have problematic websites consuming a bunch of CPU resources or memory, you can just look it up from the portal. So you can search for the name of the website. Dig deeper and understand the performance usage for that. Sorry. So you can have a look here to the performance utilization related to that website. Of course, details, site URLs, compute mode, etc. Within the website, you can define if it has to support .NET, PHP, and so on. So this is a list of features that are exposed on your website. On the configure pane, you can define the certificate settings for your website cloud, the authentication mode, whether you want to use web deploy to host the custom application code or an FTP server. And then you can also define connection credentials to different server roles. So in this case, we have a separate credential to connect to the file server, separate credential to connect to the database, and so on. So how do we sign up to specific website clouds? This is through plans. So if we go to the plan pane on the Azure management on the Azure Pack Management portal, you can check the details of the website plan, for example. And we go to the website cloud. Here you have the ability to define quotas. And the ability to define quotas is actually configured per subscription or per processes. We don't have the ability yet today to define quotas per websites. So if we check the CPU-related quota for a specific subscription, you can define different different parameters, like the CPU time per minutes for the reserved workers, for the shared workers, etc. Any question? OK, then. Let me hand it over to Anders to cover.
Thank you. So before, Nader mentioned that this solution, I just want to switch the screen here. So Nader talked about that this is very scalable. So I'm just going to give you some numbers and some examples on how you can actually scale this. So here you can see this is actually things that we have trusted internally. We also have customers that have deployed this setup. So it's extremely scalable where you can have more than 200 workers. When we run Windows Azure, we deploy 1,100 workers at the time for when we deploy a new set of paths inside Azure. Customers are also running with over 200 workers, so it means that it can scale to really nice numbers. But also, if you look at it, if you deploy, let's say, 10 workers, and you allocate 48 gigabytes to these workers, you can run up to 25,000 websites. And as Nader mentioned there, you can have multiple farms, which means that you can add multiple farms to Windows Azure Pack. And theoretically, that means that if you add two farms with 25,000 websites each, this means that you can host up to 50,000 websites in one instance of Windows Azure Pack. Anyone in here using more than 50,000 websites? No? If you have more than 50,000 websites, you can add a third one. So you can do the math and say, OK, we just scale this up until we have enough websites for what we use. Let me see if, so one thing we use here, let me go ahead, is that we have the Web App Gallery. And Web App Gallery is really the power of a platform as a service, where you can go in and you can find apps that are published in there that will allow you to go in and distribute a website when using these common web apps. So that could be WordPress, you can see there. If you want to stand up a website that has a blog engine running, you can do that too. So these are commonly known, and you can see that those are, for each of these web applications, some of these uses a database. So when you deploy that, underneath it will also spin up a database. So you can save your data inside that. WordPress, for instance, uses a database, and there are others there that also use the database underneath. And all of that will be taken care of automatically, and it's fully automated, that provision. So another thing we also use here is that you can have source code and developer tools that you use in connection with that. So if a developer is sitting and developing this in, for instance, Visual Studio, In here, you can then go and kind of code whatever you want inside this. You then can put it on a source code system, such as TFS. And then Windows Azure Pack or the web farm can automatically go to this source system and load in the files from there. So that makes it very easy for you to have a life cycle for how you maintain your code and actually have Windows Azure Pack use this as you go through the life cycle of developing your code. Of course, you can also use things as Web Deployer, FTP, if you don't have these source systems, that is fully supported as well. So let me walk you through what it actually looks like if you're a tenant. Nader here showed you what the experience is if you're an administrator. So if you imagine that I'm actually the customer and I'm logging into the Windows Azure Pack portal, this is the experience you would actually see that I have. How many of you are familiar with what we call the Cloud OS? Okay. So Cloud OS is the new vision from Microsoft where we are providing a consistent platform where we are defining three different types of cloud. So there's the one you can have on-premise, then there's the cloud you can have at a hoster, and then there's what the services that we provide inside Windows Azure. So the vision of that is to provide a unified platform for which you can have a common identity, you can have common APIs, and you can have a common interface or portal in this. And just to give you an idea, I'm actually going to show you some of this where I use Microsoft Azure. Oh, I need to flip over here, sorry. So just to give you an idea for how common these consoles are and how much we're actually taking this technology from Azure and putting it on-prem, I'm actually going to start by showing you Microsoft Azure. How many of you have used Microsoft Azure and seen this portal before? Okay, for those of you that haven't, I really recommend you can sign up for this and test it for a month or so for free. But familiarize yourself with this because this is really the way that we present Azure up in the cloud. So what we actually done is that first we develop it up in Azure, like Nader mentioned here. And then the idea, once we have captured the learnings and we understand how we can really use this at a large scale, we take those learnings and we take them down on-premise, either at a service provider or a hoster, and deliver those technologies that we have developed in Azure to people that want to keep that in their own data center. So this is what the portal looks like. And inside here, you can kind of see out on the left side, you see all the services that you can consume. And those are identified via the plans that you have been provided as part of your subscription. That was what Nader showed you earlier. So you can add websites to a plan. You can also add virtual machines or databases. And by adding those to a plan, that allows you to subscribe these services from Windows Azure Pack. So if we look inside here, you can actually see that we have the different services. I select websites. And inside websites, you can kind of see there's a menu here. And here I get a view of the websites that I have currently provisioned into this. Now remember, this is up in Microsoft Azure. And to give you an idea and some insights into what you can actually do here, you can see that I can click New, I can select Website, and here I can select my gallery. So it's just going to load now. And here you can see all these applications that I talked about before. And these are the ones that allows you to actually go out, provision a website, but provision a website with an application running inside it so you don't have to go and do that. And this whole process is fully automated. So just to give you some examples here, let's say we want to start up a blog post because we want to blog about all the stuff that we are seeing at TechEd. You can actually go in here and we can select this blogengine.net. Let's say this is the one we want to use for blogging. I can click Next and I can give it a name. Let's call it TechEd 2014. ABC. So what it will do now is actually go out and check, are there any other websites with this name? So this name has to be unique. But once you kind of put that in here, you can then, it's going to go and do a check against the database and see if there are other names conflicting with this. And then underneath there, you can say, where do you actually want to put this? So if I click next to this one, it would actually go out and provision this into the cloud. So you can see that I already cheated a little bit. So I have one called TechEd 2014 XYZ. And if you see, click over here, this is actually the website that I've been provided, and I can actually start blocking now. So for something that would normally take a very long time to set up and configure, you can see here that without doing much, I already have a fully deployed website now, and I can start making use of the block service that it provides inside this website. So very easy and very quickly provisioned. This is going to take a little bit of time before it's created. But with that, I'm actually going to show you what it looks like on-premise. So here you can see I'm seeing manage Windows Azure.com. So what I'm going to do now is actually I'm going to go on-premise. So here I have a system called Catal Cloud. And inside this system, you can see the interface and the portal is very, very similar to what we saw over here. You can see that there's a bit more services provided up in Microsoft Azure. And then we have taken some of these services here and made them available on-premise. So you can say it's exactly the same portal. The experience is the same. The way you navigate and the way it looks and feels is exactly the same. So here you can see if I go into websites, you can actually see that I have some other websites running now. So just so you see the experience here, I can see I can click websites or add a website. And I can see the gallery again here. So you can see it's the exact same list of applications that I'm actually loading in here. So you can see this is a very similar list to the other one you saw. And you get those kind of served on a silver plate. So this will allow you to then go and deploy it. You can see if I have the blog post here. You can see this is the blog engine. And it follows the exact same characteristics and questions that we asked about before. So this one takes a little time to deploy, so we don't have too much time here. So we also have an option to say, hey, let's just deploy a basic website. So I can go in and do that here. So I can create one called Tekka, 2014 ABC. And you can see here it does the same thing where it goes and looks in the database and say, do we have any websites that looks like this? So what I'm going to do now is actually just click Create Website. And you can see here, this goes way faster because this is an empty website. There's nothing inside it. But if any of you have a mobile, and you can see this is not something I'm just creating, you can try to go to the site called tekka2014abz.catalcloud.com. And actually, let me do it here. So you can see if I go down and I select this one here, I can then go browse and actually go to the site. This is the internet. So here you can see there's an empty website running. And people can actually start to browse this website now on the internet. So any of you have a mobile, go in. You can check it. It's super exciting. There's not very much in there. But that's really how easy it is to stand up a website. So if we just go back to the site here, as a user, I can also go in and say, OK, so what's really going on? So I can select this website. And you can see down here at the bottom, you have different options that you can use. So common actions you would normally take, such as stopping the website or restarting the website. Or even delete it, and if you want to, there's this small developer tool called Webmetrics, so if you want to modify your website, there's a free tool, you can actually click that there, and then it fully integrates with that, so if you want to make changes to it, you can use this Webmetrics tool inside here. Native showed a little bit of this, but here, this is actually the experience where I can see how busy is this website, and you can actually also see the different resources that is being used here, both in terms of CPU, data in, data out, how many errors and how many requests that is coming through the system. So you get a quick overlook and a dashboard here. Maybe I should actually check another dashboard for a website that has been running for a little longer. So I can take this website. It's probably a little bit more interesting. They're not doing too much, but you can see there's still some traffic going on, and you get a quick overview here of what's going on. I can also here, I can scroll down and you can see the different consumptions I have here, the usage overview, where I then get a feeling of to say, okay, how much traffic is actually going in and out, and I can follow that over time. So over here at the right side, you also have common tasks that you can use, where for instance, if you want to download the publish profile, you can download that, put it into Visual Studio and update it and then load it back up to the website. Down here is some information. If I went to FTP to this website, I can see the address right there. Then I can provide the password that I have, and then I will actually be able to connect to the system. The other thing we can also do here is, of course, we have the monitoring that shows similar data, but it goes more in detail. So this kind of follows the same pattern that Nader talked about. Now, the interesting thing here is also that, as you know, one of the characteristics of cloud is actually me being able to burst or quickly scale up or down workloads that I have running. And that is actually what we see right here, where you can go in and say, hey, my website is a little bit too busy right now. I want to provide more resources to it so I get better response time. So in here, I can actually go in and you see this slider bar with instance count. So if I say, hey, I want some more power, I can actually click here and scale it up. So and now instead of having one instance, I can run 43 instances, meaning that I allocate a lot more resources to it. I can also say instead of it being shared, I could go in and reserve a server dedicated to that. So I don't know how it is here, but I come up from the Nordics up in Copenhagen. And sometimes every year when it snows for the first time, it's a huge surprise for the railways. And therefore, everybody is going in to see, hey, is my train delayed, which it probably is. And they will see a huge spike in those cases where the request to that website just goes through the roof. And actually what they did to accommodate one some of this is that they actually took this website and put it up into Azure, where it would automatically scale up and make sure that for those 6 hours where people are going in and hammering on the website, that they will actually provide the needed resources. And this is kind of similar to that, where I can go in very quickly if I certainly like get a lot of traffic. I can then go in here, scale it up, or even go in and allocate a dedicated server here. So all I need to do here is really just take the slider bar, take it up to the number that I believe is reasonable. I click save, and now I'm automatically allocating, you can see it goes really fast, more instances to my website. The last thing I just want to show here is here you can also link to these resources here, where you can see the database that is running. So what happens here is that when I go and create a new website where there is an application running on this website that requires a database, Windows Azure Pack would automatically do two things. First, it would go and create the database, and then it would go and deploy this application on top of the website I just created. So I'm just going to show you over under databases. You can see right here, I have two databases. And there I have the database called Tekkit that you see right here. So this one is then the database it's going to use to save data for this website. And all this is done automatically for you. You don't have to sit and think about it. Some of the applications, when you deploy them, might ask you what you want to name the database. But that's about it. Everything else is just provisioned and configured for you. So very easy and very intuitive to work with inside this portal here. So that was really just a quick introduction to it. Like, one of the good things here is also if you deploy Windows Azure Pack on site that you see up here, the identity of this is that you can actually log in using this, using your core credentials. Or if you have multiple customers and they log into the system, they can actually federate with ADFS. So if you're a service provider and you have ADFS, people can actually do single sign-on and go in and log into this portal and start consuming this without being prompted for a user and a password. So that was just a quick introduction to give you a quick insight to how this actually works. We deployed a website in Azure. We can actually go and see if it's done. Hopefully it is. So you can actually see now that this website is fully operational now. And then we actually went, after we deployed that website, we went into the on-prem version of this in Windows Azure Pack, and we saw that this interface is very similar to the one running up in Windows Azure. And then we deployed another website in there. And you can see that that whole experience is exactly the same as up in Azure. So let's flip back to the presentation. So when you operate this and you already have it up in the air, of course, you want to monitor it and make sure that everything is running as expected. What we also recommend our customers is to use what we call the Microsoft-based configuration analyzer. And that is a small tool that will go and scan the different roles that you have in your web farm, making sure that those are configured in the most optimal way. And Very often when people run this tool, we out with customers. We have an organization called PFE that are out helping customers with optimizing their environment. They very often use this tool actually going out and scanning to see if this system is put together in the most optimal way. Then you can also have ETW tracing, which is available for each role. For each role in the farm, that would allow you to actually go in and do tracing and see if something is not working as expected. Then lastly, we have Operations Manager. How many of you are familiar with System Center Operations Manager? There's a few hands there. Okay, good. So this is the tool from Microsoft that allows you to monitor the infrastructure. So you can monitor Exchange, you can monitor Link, SharePoint, or you can also monitor websites. So when you deploy this management pack, which is a definition of how you monitor a given system, it would actually automatically go out and discover all the roles inside a farm. And then it will start monitoring this farm and look for any errors that is happening and kind of query to see if it's running as expected. What we also have on top of this is that we also have a management pack for Windows Azure Pack that will go in and monitor and make sure that all the roles that you have in there or all the resource providers are working as expected. So just a scenario that we want to set the scene a little bit for a discussion here. So we have this company called Contoso Toys application. They have a development team where they have the following situation. So they maintain a number of web-based .NET and PHP applications developed in-house, so they have created these applications themselves. The applications are developed on a rapid cycles, meaning that they go in and they update them quite often, adding new functionality and so on. Then they deploy them on a weekly basis. And then the last thing is the deployment team sometimes struggle with maintaining a clear dev and test environment. So they are really struggling with having the same thing in two environments. And then they don't think they are good enough at deploying this fast enough and in a changeable manner where this is stable enough. So with that in mind, the application team is looking for a solution that will do the following. They need to be able to quickly and easily deploy new web applications inside their web farm. They want to have minimal responsibility and care for whatever is underneath feeding the hosting environment. And then with minimal expenses, where they say, hey, let's try to keep this as inexpensive as possible. So if you think of these three objectives, you can then debate if you want to go for infrastructure as a service or platform as a service. Any idea what that would be the most optimal solutions with these criteria in mind? So PaaS is the best solution here because once they go in and use Windows Azure Pack with the web services that are provided inside this, they don't need to care about everything that is beneath the websites. Everything is maintained and operated by the platform itself, where if you were using infrastructure as a service for these websites, they will have to patch, they will have to monitor, they will have to maintain buying licenses and all this for every virtual machine, which is a lot more work for these web developers. And normally, they don't want to operate systems. They are more, they just want to develop applications and have a system where they can run that. So with these scenarios or requirements in mind, platform as a service would be the best solutions for this company. So some notes from the field where when you go out and install this. So a web farm requires 7 servers at a minimum. So Nader here showed some architecture on how it's put together. And at minimum, you can come up with the 7 servers. In production, we definitely recommend that you use these 7 servers. For a test environment, you can take some of these roles and put them onto the same server. Again, that should only be done in a test environment. What you also want to make sure is that you have VinRM enabled, especially on the controller, to make sure that you open for this kind of communication in the firewall. And also that it's enables to make sure that it can actually go and talk to the other roles in the farm. It's always very good to understand where you actually have your logs, and when you're installing, the web PI logs will be put in this location here. And of course, there's always the Windows event log for Windows Azure Pack, where you can go and see if there are any challenges or things that are not working as expected. Then what we also recommend if you're installing this, especially in a virtual environment, is to take a snapshot of your environment at different stages in the installation. So you can do a snapshot just before you begin the configuration, and if something doesn't go quite the way you want, you can always revert back to a clean state of your infrastructure. So one thing we get asked quite often is, okay, what if my web farm does not have internet connection? So when you use this web application gallery that I showed you earlier, normally it would actually take this web gallery and load that from the internet. So it goes to that web service and say, hey, show me all the web applications that you have up there. And that's why you saw the same list up from Microsoft Azure as we saw when we clicked inside Windows Azure Pack, is that those are actually being loaded off the internet. So then you can ask, what do I do if I don't have internet connection? Then I can't go and load my web gallery. So what you can do there is actually you can have a local store holding the web application gallery. So you can go out and download that locally on a machine that has internet connection. Then you can take these bits and transfer them into your system, copy them or put them on a USB stick, and then when you go into your Windows Azure Pack, you will then point it to use the local version of that, so it won't go to the internet, but to the local copy. There's a few caveats you might want to be aware of when doing that, and that is, of course, that you you have to download that copy and somehow carry it over to that closed environment. And also, if there are changes made to things in the web gallery, obviously you would have to go and download those and recopy those files over on an ongoing basis. So obviously, of course, that's not done automatically. So that's a manual procedure you would have to come up with. All of this is explained on a building cloud blocks where takes you through step by step on how to actually achieve this. And we have talked to quite a few customers that said that they have run into a scenario like this. So if you're in a similar situation, you can actually go and follow this blog post. So if you want to get started, like some of you might be saying, hey, I want to stand up a platform as a service infrastructure. How do I get started? So as Neda mentioned in the beginning, we have a website called Building Clouds. And on this website, we talk about a lot of different things from Windows Server and System Center. But one of them is Windows Azure Pack. So we wrote a series of blog posts that will actually take you step by step through what you need to do in order to install Windows Azure Pack. And you can see that I have put in those links up there. So if you download this presentation, you can actually click on these links. And they will take you to it so you can get started in as easy and quickly as possible. Then we also have the web suite features. So really what happens here, and that actually goes both for Windows and System Center and Windows Azure Pack, is that we're shifting over to releasing quarterly updates. That's normally what we refer to as update rollups. We just released update rollup 4 for Windows Azure Pack, as well as for System Center. Did we release it, or are we releasing it this week?
Yep.
I think we're releasing it this week, so if it's not out there, it's coming out tomorrow. So what we do here is really that we come with this update rollup for all the System Center products and for Windows Azure Pack. They ship at the same time. And this is a way that we want customers to go in a consistent way and actually update all these components at the same time. And therefore, when we ship it at the same time, we also have the option of making sure that all this is aligned. So when you go and do this, the website features would also be updated inside this rollup. So if we look at a little bit of what's coming next, we have some features from Windows Azure Pack Web Services and then flow to the Windows Azure Pack websites. And as I mentioned earlier, as Nate also mentioned, the strategy from Microsoft is really that we want to get the learnings from Microsoft Azure. Once we understand how this technology works and we can get it to work in the most optimal way up in Azure at huge scale, we're taking those learnings down on-premise. So we will continuously taking the learnings from Azure, then 6 months later, we will take those learnings that we have and put them into Windows Azure Pack. So we're continuously making sure that we add the best learnings that we have from Azure.
Anders, let's step back and talk a little bit about the history of the WAP website platform. So like I was saying earlier, 2 years ago, we were trying to build what we called web farm capabilities. Web farm capabilities based on the web farm framework, the web deploy package, and so on. All these kind of web technologies are glued together to provide a scalable and secure web hosting platform. But it was really hard to implement, to deploy. We were trying also to provide single experience across our three clouds, like public cloud, hosting service providers, our partners, hosting service providers, and enterprises. But the solution was mainly designed for hosting service providers. So we said, you know what? What about this thing, the Azure websites? And kind of we need some help with web hosting web applications. So what we did, we stopped the development of the on-premises version of the solution, the web farm framework, and we made it work in Azure. And this is actually what was announced by Scott Guthrie like 2 years ago, the approach for PaaS and IaaS in Azure. It was really exciting times. And then we said, you know what? There are certain people that really need the same set of capabilities that the Azure website provides, but on the private cloud or on the enterprise space. Or there are other places in the world that where we can address using technologies provided in Azure. So we need to package the solution in a way that hosting service providers, like the one participant on the Cousin program, can use that package to deploy their own data centers. So and since we are taking cloud-first design principle, the solution has been tested in Azure across large scale, like I was saying earlier. It's like we tested the Azure websites across over 1,000 servers. And we were enabled for years to do the same for our on-premises technologies. So this is how the WAP websites component came from. That's back
Thank
to
you. So if we look a little bit ahead, or at least what we have updated, I talked about these quarterly updates. So just to give you an idea of what we have updated and kind of can see that we are continuously improving this. So for update one, we had some issues reported by customers on the proxy deployment and upgrade, so we fixed that. We also enabled that the website can run as a domain user. And also that means that it can then talk to a SQL using AD authentication. And then we also added virtual directories and IaaS app virtual directories. So in update two, we kind of did what we implemented in update one, and then we put GUI on top of it. So the GUI would now support the AD integration. Then PHP version, like the latest, was put in there. The same with Python version was updated as well, so you can use the latest version there. And then we also added some scalability improvements. And in every one of them, we also did some general bug fixing to make sure that those got in there as well. In update three, again, it's really about once in the first update, you will typically see that we put it in the platform, and then the following update will then have GUI support for this. And then there was also Windows authentication for the SQL resource providers was also put in there, which was something quite a bit of customers was asking for. So that got in there with update three. So you want to talk a little bit about CPS? I can take it as well. So some of you at the keynote might have heard about a new system that Microsoft announced this week called Cloud Platform System. So for those of you that say, hey, I would really like the, just to buy the whole thing in a box. Cloud, the platform, sorry, the cloud platform system is really what provides that. So you can call Microsoft saying, hey, I would like to buy a rack of servers that is fully configured all the way up from hardware with the storage and networking and all of these components is stood up. So you can actually and pre-installed and configured with a Windows Azure Pack, with System Center, everything is running in there. The very compelling thing about this is that you get everything. All you have to do is really just plug it in, give it some power, and attach some networking, and then you have your own cloud running inside your own data center. Everything is configured inside it, and we will provide you with quarterly updates for everything inside that system, meaning that such as how you can patch it, everything from disk drives to network drivers to firmware, all of that comes wrapped in a box that we provide with you on an ongoing basis, meaning that also if you run into issues with this, you call one number. Some customers have talked about saying, hey, we're not super confident with the solution where the vendor says it's a Microsoft problem, and Microsoft says it's a driver problem, and then we spend a lot of time communicating back and forth who's actually right about this. So in this case with CBS, you call one number, and then it's a Microsoft's headache to get that fixed, even though it's a driver problem with a NIC or with a hard drive. That would be our responsibility to fix that. You just have one number to call. Anything else you want to add to that?
What about supportability for past components like websites?
That's a good question. So with CPS, PaaS is not included out of the box, but there's nothing stopping you. Windows Azure Pack is installed, and if you want, you can take this part of these servers and stand them up as the different, and stand up a web farm inside CPS, and then you can connect that web farm to Windows Azure Pack, and you'll be able to do anything that we talked about and have shown in here in a matter of a few days, where for you to stand up the private cloud by yourself, maybe having to get consultants in, help you to configure that takes a lot of time. Here, this can be implemented in a matter of days.
Yeah, so think about CPS as an Azure on-prem. So we just try to take off the learning from the Azure environment that we have been going through for many years. So we're just taking the learnings from Azure, bring them to the customer on-premises so they can get the learnings that we got from Azure, from storage, from networking, from self-service experience and automations.
So we're almost at the end now. So the objective with this session was to give you an introduction to how you can actually stand up your own platform as a service inside your own data center by using Windows Azure Pack and using a web farm from Microsoft, how you can configure it. We showed you what the administration looked like. We talked a little bit about the architecture in the web farm. Then we showed you what the tenant experience would look like. And then we have talked about what updates and enhancements there has been over the past year. So I hope we achieve that.
Yeah. So any question? We still have like 10 minutes to discuss.
So just for those of you that want to see more about Windows Azure Pack, you can see these sessions are still available to you where you can actually learn more about Azure Pack. Besides that, there's also some other sessions. These have might been taking place already. If they have, you can go and watch these online after the event on Channel 9. So that would enable you to get deeper insight into what other things you can do with Windows Azure Pack. So with that, I'd say we turn over to questions. Thank you very much for staying until the last session. We are humbled that you picked this session, and I know that there's Ask the Experts now following this session, where you can come down and meet all the people from Microsoft and ask questions, and we are very happy also to take an offline discussion with you down and meet the experts. So with that, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for staying all the way to the end.